You're listening to eDars.com.
الحمد لله نحمده سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد عبده ورسوله ما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وما آتاكم الرسول فخذوه وما نهاكم عنه فانطلق الله العظيم سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني Mothers and sisters, honor of building Masjid Aqsa was given to Sayyidina Dawood alayhi salatu wassalam. Honor of building Masjid Aqsa was given to Sayyidina Dawood alayhi salatu wassalam. However, this noble mission could not be completed in the lifetime of Sayyidina Dawood alayhi salatu wassalam. Hazrat Dawood alayhi salatu wassalam passed away, and so this khidmat service was then transferred to his son, Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. Perhaps Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to give both father and son this privilege to construct Masjid Aqsa, just like what we see when it comes to the construction of Baytullah Sharif, the Kaaba. We have Ibrahim alayhi salam and Ismail alayhi salam, father and son. And the same for Masjid Aqsa. The construction was with father and son, both prophets, Anbiya alayhi salatu wassalam. The project was initiated by Dawood alayhi salatu wassalam, later on completed by Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salatu wassalam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned this in Surah Saba, verse number 14. How Sulaiman alayhi salatu wassalam would manage the project. But before we look into the verses of the Quran, just to give an explanation of one hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, a hadith which is recorded in the Sahih of Imam Bukhari and also in the Sahih of Imam Muslim rahmatullah alayhi. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala an is the narrator. He says that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to his companions, Inna ifritam min al jinni tafallat alayya al barihata. And he said that in the night a jinn came to me. In the night a jinn came to me. Liyaqta'a alayya salati. So that the jinn could disturb me in my prayers. And so Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam is saying this. So he came with an intent to disturb Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam in his salah. Now imagine if the jinns could come to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, being a Nabi, and of course he was protected. Imagine our condition. And so Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam says that when he came, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the honor that Allah has given Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam captured him and took control of that jinn. And he says in the hadith that my intention was to tie this jinn to one of the pillars of the masjid. To tie the jinn to one of the pillars of Masjid Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And in the narration of Imam Muslim rahmatullah alayhi, it is said, so that even the children the next day could tease him and play with him, this jinn that was tied to the pillar of Masjid Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So this was the intention of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. However, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam released him. And it says that فَرَدَتُّهُ خَاسِئًا, the jinn ran away. The jinn ran away. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam had complete control. And he wanted to show the jinn to the Muslims, to the companions, by tying the jinn to the pillar of Masjid Nabawi, so that the children could also see him. But Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam released him and he ran away. The reason for that, in the hadith it is mentioned that Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam says that I remembered the dua of my brother Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasallam. The dua of my brother Sulaiman alayhi salam. And what was the dua of Sulaiman alayhi salam? Just so that nothing would jeopardize his position. Nothing would jeopardize the position of Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. The dua of Sulaiman alayhi salam is recorded in the Quran. And he had asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rabbi gfirli wa habli mulkan la yanbaghi li ahadin min ba'di. That, O Allah, forgive me and bestow upon me a kingdom that you have given to no one else. Give me kingdom, a kingdom that you have given to nobody after me. And this was the dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted from Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. And the meaning of this dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted the dua, as in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him control over many of the creations of Allah. And from amongst the main party that were subservient to him was the creation of jinns. The jinns were under his control. And so Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam remembered the dua of his brother Sulaiman alayhi salam, that Allah gave him this sole authority with the jinns, and for Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam to tie him, Allah's Nabi did not want to sort of jeopardize the honor that Allah had given Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. And this shows the humility in Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. How humble he was. Allahu Akbar. How humble was Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The fact of the matter is that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, never mind Sulaiman alayhi salam, never mind Dawud alayhi salam, never mind Musa alayhi salam, Isa alayhi salam, Ibrahim alayhi salam, Allah's Nabi is Imamul Anbiya. Who is he? Imamul Anbiya. He is Habibullah, a title given to none but Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the most beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But imagine, he is so mindful of certain privilege that was given to the previous prophets. He honored and respected that partial privilege and honor that was given to the prophets before him. And so he remembered Sulaiman alayhi salam and he said, no, if I capture him and tie him, and when I look into the dua of Sulaiman alayhi salam, perhaps I would rather that I would release him. And so Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam's authority is intact. And so this was the maqsad, the purpose of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam was one Nabi who was also a great king of his people. So he was actually a king prophet. What was he? A king prophet. And this rank was also given as a choice, a position, to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That whether you want to be a king prophet or a slave prophet, the choice is with Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And Jibreel Amin came and he said, Ya Rasulullah, it is up to you, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And so Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, being a Nabi, took mashwara from Jibreel Amin. See, there is great khair in mashwara. Khair in mashwara. And so he said, Jibreel, what is your opinion? And he said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the best choice is to be a slave prophet to Allah. The best choice is to be a slave prophet. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, even if that was not your opinion, I would have selected that. SubhanAllah. That was the knowledge given to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But we have to remember, of course, Sulaiman alayhi salam was a king prophet. That does not mean that he was superior in position or in rank to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Not at all. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Khatamun Nabiyyin, and he is Rahmatul Lil Alameen. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has never connected the name of anyone in his makhluk to his name but the name of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so if you want to become a Muslim, you have to say La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so khair, the reason why I cited in front of you this hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is so that we can understand Sulaiman alayhi salatu wa sallam, when it came to the construction of Masjid-e-Aqsa, he took service from the jinns. He took service from the jinns. The project was actually initiated by his father, Dawud alayhi salam, but completed during the lifetime of Sulaiman alayhi salatu wa salam. And his workforce would include also the jinns. And so I feel that perhaps before we complete this verse of Surah Saba, just to give you some insight as to who the jinns are, so that we understand how Sulaiman alayhi salatu was salam took control over the jinns, and that they were subservient to him. Now, the jinns are a complete different makhluk, a complete different creation to insan. Chalk and cheese, bhai. A complete different creation. Who are the jinns? In simple words, let us look into the hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that the malaika have been created from noor. From noor. So the angels have been created from light, noor. What kind of noor? That is in the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But noor. The jinns have been created from min nari samoom. A smokeless flame of fire. A smokeless flame of fire. Min nari samum. Smokeless flame of fire. An insan has been created from earthly material. Earthly material. And so these are the ingredients of these three makhluk, the creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The jinns, the malaika, and insan. Now if you look into the jinns, you have different types of jinns. In the hadith, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, and inshallah I'll try to focus on the hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because if we have any information, it is only through Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that there are three types of jinns. How many? Three types of jinns. The first category of jinns are jinns that just float and are suspended in the heavens, and they fly through the air. They fly through the air. That is the first category, the first group of jinns. Just above in the heavens, just floating. And they are jinns. The second category of jinns are jinns that take up the shape and form of other creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, they have the ability of cloning themselves to the face of other individuals. And so these jinns can take up the form of other makhluk, other creations like dogs, snakes, anything. Even human beings. Completely identical. The same voice. Everything the same. So you can have a person, but he might be a jinn. And it can happen. It can happen. And so at times you'll see, for example, at times many of the jinns want to pray salah in the rawza of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in Masjid Nabwi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And so there are many incidents that have been recorded that you hear of jinns that are in the Haramain al-Sharifain, in that part of the area. So they take up the image, the shape and form of anything in the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the third category of jinns are jinns that are just like human beings, in a sense that same affairs. They would take up residence in a place, they would stay there, and if they want, they would also move away. And everything, all of the affairs of human beings are equal then with the jinns. So you have the three categories of jinns. A lot of the jinns that human beings connect with is the third category of jinns. The third category of jinns, generally. And so we need to understand that the jinns are a complete different makhluk, but however, there are some similarities with the jinns. Insan and the jinns have some similarities. Similarities as in that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them the ability to think and reflect. Just like human beings can think and reflect, the jinns also have that ability to think and reflect. Allah has given insan a choice to take the path which is good, or it's up to that individual to tread on something that's evil. So what is good and what is evil is clear to insan. That judgment is also given to the jinns. They can also make the right judgment that this is sirat-e-mustaqim and this is the path of maghdub and dalleen. And so that power is also given to them. But perhaps the most differentiating feature of a jinn is the fact that the jinns are completely obscured and concealed from the naked eye. So insan has no authority, insan has no power to see the jinns. In fact, what happens is that if there's any kind of communication with the jinn, then perhaps it's done through the human body. It's done through the human body that you communicate with someone. But generally, for the common man, he has no power to see the jinns. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned this, لَا تَرَوْنَهُمْ, that insan cannot see the jinns. But I must say that in the hadith it is clearly mentioned that there is a makhluk in the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that can see jinns. And we have a sahih hadith which is in Sunan Abi Dawud. And this hadith is narrated by Hadrat Jabir radiallahu ta'ala. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam has said that amongst the makhluk, the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have dogs and donkeys that can see jinns. Dogs and donkeys that can see jinns. That is mentioned in the hadith. And the hadith is Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that if you hear the barking of the dogs and the braying of the donkeys, the barking of the dogs and the braying of the donkeys, then seek refuge in Allah of shaitan. Why? Because they can see something you can't see. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, they can see something that you can't see. So say, A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. All of a sudden, everything is quiet. There's no one out there. It's an open jungle. And all of a sudden you see, or you can sense something strange, and that the dogs are looking in one direction and just barking and barking and barking. Or the praying of the donkeys. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, certain animals Allah has given them the power to actually see the jinns. And in this modern world, it has become very, very easy for us, my respected brothers and elders. There's nothing strange about this hadith that is recorded in the Sunan of Imam Abu Dawud and the words of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is said that the bee can actually see ultraviolet light. The bee can see ultraviolet light. And the owl in complete darkness can actually see clearly a mouse running in a corn patch. A mouse running in a corn patch. Clearly the owl can see without any difficulty. This is the power that Allah has given. فَتَبَارَكَ أَحْسَنُ الْخَالِقِينَ. And these are just two things that come to my mind. Subhanallah. The owl can see. The night is day for the owl. The night is day. And subhanallah, the head is such that it can turn 360 degrees. Why? Don't do that, Omar. We'll have some cloning to do otherwise. 360 degrees. Subhanallah al-Azim. Look at the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so the dogs and donkeys can see the jinns. And proof of that is also, my respected brothers, if you go many years back, when tsunami struck Indonesia and Sri Lanka, how many people died? More than 150,000 people died. Huh? Was it? Well, whatever. But many, many people died. In their hundreds, many people died. But if you look into the animal world, only a few animals died. Now you see, you'll find that the scientists want to do a research in everything. Why is this? So in Sri Lanka, it is said that with satellite pictures and everything they had, they said that before the tsunami struck Sri Lanka, and these are eyewitness accounts that are given from individuals, and they said that something strange was happening in the animal world. The dogs were not prepared to come out of the house. Before tsunami hit Sri Lanka, the dogs were not prepared to go out. This man personally says that every day, as a retired individual, I would take my two dogs to the beach to run. And they would get excited. But on that day, the dogs just were not prepared to come out. And he said, the dogs have saved my life. What did he say? The dogs have saved my life. And they say that the elephants were screaming as if they wanted to move to a higher ground. The animals in the zoo had entered into their shelter. The flamingos had not gone to their area of breeding. And an entire list of all the animals, and this peculiar, strange pattern in the animal world is experienced. And people have studied this. And so they have decided, the scientists say, that, well, they will say that it's because of the sixth sense that is given to them. But we say, this is the quality and, subhanallah, the power that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them. But again, what Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, that the dogs can see jinnat. That the dogs can see jinns. And that is why in the hadith it is mentioned that the malaika don't like to enter premises in which they are dogs. And that does not mean that death will not come to you. The angel of death will not come if you have a dog. It doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean that at all. And subhanAllah, there is so much information given to us about jinns. And they share some similarity with insan, that they have to eat and also drink, just like human beings. Malaika don't have to eat or drink. For the malaika, it is the tasbih of Allah and the zikr of Allah. That is their food. But for the jinns and for insan, they have to take an intake of food. Now, what is the food of jinns? Ulama have mentioned, taken this from the hadith, they say that the food for the jinns is, you see what happens is that the bones that we get rid of, murgiya khub khai, murgiya khub khai, as Maulana Falahi Sahib would say, that people in England, their stomach is the kabristan for chickens. Their stomach is the kabristan for chickens. Khair, that is his words. But the bones that we get rid of, meat is recycled on it. Meat is recycled on it for the jinns. Now, the jinns that are Muslims, of course for the Muslims, we have to eat something that is halal. And the best choice for the Muslims would be HMC products. The best choice for the Muslims would be HMC products. Stay away from things that are, if they are not HMC, unless you are confident. So HMC, mashallah, they do the work for you. But for the jinns, it is said that the food upon which a believer has said Bismillah, and he gets rid of the bones, that food becomes halal for the Muslim jinn. And upon the food which in which the name of Allah is not taken, that food is not halal for the Muslim jinns, it is for the non-Muslim jinns. And so Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam has said that a group of jinns came to me and they have embraced Islam and they said to me, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, this is our food. And when Allah's Nabi was informed, he said to the companions that make sure if any one of you do istinja, if you're out in the desert, make sure you don't pick up a bone, a dry bone. Because that is food for your brethren, as in the jinns. And so this is the food for the jinns, and of course they also drink. They also drink. And apparently Yajuj and Majuj do a lot of drinking. Yajuj and Majuj will do a lot of drinking. And also the fact is that the jinns have a lot of strength. A lot of strength. They are much stronger than human beings. And that is why Sulaiman alayhi salam was taking service from the jinns. Another thing that is mentioned in the hadith, very careful my respected brothers and elders, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam has said that if you enter your house, when people enter their dwellings where they live, and if you enter without saying Bismillah or without taking the name of Allah, the entire party of the shaitan comes and they say, Mabruk, Mabruk, you have lodging and you can have tenancy in this property. And so we have extra tenants that live with us. So the shayateen, what do they say? You have free tenancy here in this house. Because this man is so neglectful that he's even forgotten the name of Allah. So a lot of people, oh, they want to come, rush, bhai, football, dekhna hai, darwaza khola, foran. No bismillah. The shaitan, the jinns are there ready. Because they move from one house to another very quickly. And say, we've got tenancy here, free tenancy. And then when food is being put in front of you in the dastarkhan, if any one of you forget to say Bismillah, they say also free food for you. Free food for you. But mashallah, Muslims who remember the name of Allah at all times, even Bismillah blocks entry of the shaitan in the house. Imagine that. But what is a good dua that one should read? Anyone here knows the dua? Huh? MashaAllah. Allahumma inni as'aluka khayr al-mawlaji wa khayr al-makhraji bismillahi wa lajna wa bismillahi kharajna wa ala rabbina tawakkalna. Many duas, but this is the most beautiful dua. And this will stop all the shayateen from any kind of free tenancy. Everything. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, they eat with their left hand and drink with their left hand. So you eat with your right and you drink with your right hand. If you eat with your left, shaitan eats with you. And if you drink with your left, shaitan also drinks with you. And so this is the information that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given this ummah. Inshallah ta'ala, we stop here. If Allah wills, we'll continue. Just wanted to give you some insight of jinns, and it is an ajeeb makhluk, inshallah ta'ala. It would be good knowledge, good information for us to take in. And so when we cover Sulaiman alayhi salatu wassalam, we have a clear understanding of how the jinns were listening to Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salatu wassalam. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Allahumma taqabbal minna wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Sami'na wa ata'na ghufranaka rabbana wa ilayka al-masir. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.